Actually, the second time we've had Linda speak at one of our conferences, the first time she talked about nature tourism and the economic value at that. She's also done a lot of work for Parks and Wildlife in that regard. So with that, I'm going to open up the panel with Linda.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Laura, very much. It's really a pleasure to be here with you all today. I just wanted to open with a few remarks to kind of set the stage of what these gentlemen are going to speak about today. Lyndon Johnson, by the way, some of this is taken directly from a fellow that I admire a lot, and that's David Langford, who has worked tirelessly for wildlife and water issues on private land. So allow me to steal from some of his thunder here, which I think he would permit. Saving the water and the soil must start with the first where the first raindrop falls. That was said by Lyndon B. Johnson in 1947. Before Lyndon B. Johnson was a politician, he was a child of the land. Growing up in the Texas Hill Country, amid the grazing goat, sheep, and cattle, and sparkling clear springs, he inherently understood the relationship between sky, land, and water. In recent years, though, fewer people have enjoyed the benefits of growing up on the land. Farms and ranches have given way to cities and suburbs, severing the direct physical ties to the land and nature's cycles. Consequently, a lack of understanding of how natural processes on the land influence water has developed in our state. Ground and surface water supplies originate with the rain that falls on the land and is captured by complex, large-scale ecological processes involving many variables, including plants, animals, soils, and geology. When these processes function optimally, floods are reduced, aquifers are replenished, and water is released more slowly and steadily into springs, streams, rivers, lakes, and eventually into our bays and estuaries. If the land is healthy, the quality and quantity of water, both surface and groundwater, available to our citizens reflects that condition. When the natural processes are working well across millions of acres of open rural land, the contribution to the state's water supply can be tremendous, creating more water for all Texans. With conscientious land stewards, such as these gentlemen that will speak to you today, ably managing their resources, they are ranching water just as surely as they are ranching cattle or wildlife. Unfortunately, this contribution is often overlooked or misunderstood. Well-managed land is the greatest water supply enhancement device on the planet. With adequate and appropriate vegetative cover, land is nature's sponge. In Texas, open space land covers almost 150 million acres. A sponge of this magnitude cannot be overlooked when the objective is making the most of every drop that falls from the sky. By providing incentives and technical assistance, which is what we strive to do through our technical guidance program at Parks and Wildlife, to private landowners, who incidentally manage over 90% of the land in Texas, we can help ensure that these land stewards continue to voluntarily do good things for water in Texas. Their efforts are vitally important because the presence of voluntary land stewardship, enhancing the catchment and supply enhancement power of the land, helps maximize the effectiveness of all other water management strategies.